Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. Our show is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which allows innkeepers to provide guests with their recommendations of the best local places to eat, play, and shop during their stay. The Frictionless Guest app is accessible through all mobile and desktop devices, and you can learn more about it by visiting frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. I'm Matt Langan, and I'll be joined by Steve Short, the founder and CEO of the Frictionless Guest app. And our guest for this special episode is Jim Belote, the owner of Beale Mansion, an award-winning bed and breakfast conveniently located only 25 minutes from the Gateway Arch in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. And Jim, how are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really, really a pleasure to have you here. And let's start at the top. Tell us a little bit more about Beale Mansion, its history, and how long you and your wife, Sandy, have owned the property and all that good stuff.
The property was actually originally built in 1903 by a gentleman named Zephaniah Bowman Job. He was a very wealthy man who had this built as the wedding gift for his son and his son's bride. Mr. Job is probably best remembered for co-founding the Chicago and Alton Railroad and being one of the people who hired the Pinkertons to look for Jesse James, because the Chicago and Alton is the railroad that Jesse James kept robbing over and over and over again. He also co-founded the St. Louis Pocket Boat Company, had a fleet of steamboats on the inner waterways, and he owned a quarry, racetrack, hotel, mill, mine, 5,000 acres of farmland, most of the town of Wood River, most of the town of East Alton. Plus, he was the sheriff of Madison County and an Illinois state legislator. And some people say he actually made more money in the Illinois state legislature than anything else he did. But he was quite a conglomerate before conglomerates really were formally recognized. Mr. Job had this built in 1903. His son's bride was Mary Drummond of the Drummond Tobacco Fortune, which became part of the American Tobacco Trust, one of the great monopolies of the robber baron era. And they lived here until 1908. In 1908, the bride had her husband declared insane, committed to a Michigan asylum, and he would subsequently die there 3 years later. In 1909, she sold the property to the Honorable Edmund Beale, four-time mayor, senator, good friends with Teddy Roosevelt, offered a cabinet position in Teddy Roosevelt's administration, and also co-founder of Beale Brothers Manufacturing, which became the largest manufacturers of mining tools, railroad implements, and heavy equipment in the Midwest. That's kind of been the namesake of the property ever since. My wife and I purchased the property in 1906, or became indentured servants for anybody who's restored an old historic property, and opened in 1998 as the Beale Mansion, an elegant bed and breakfast inn.
That's fascinating. What a fascinating history there, Jim. Thank you for sharing that. And certainly a lot of colorful characters in the past there that are attached to this property. So tell us a little bit more just about the property itself. It certainly does, from our research, seem to be very elegant. You certainly host a lot of, you know, weddings and a lot of high-end events, if you will. So tell us a little bit more about the property itself.
It's a very beautiful property. First floor, just under 12-foot ceilings. Second floor, 11-foot ceilings. Hardwood floors and hand-sewn oriental rugs throughout. Fine artwork, including hand-carved marble, statuary, bronze statuary, beautiful paintings, hand-sewn oriental rugs. It's a property for people who appreciate beautiful things, and it really is a trip back in time to a more elegant, a slower paced, a more romantic time, at least for those who had, as the owners of this property did. All of the guest rooms are very beautifully appointed in period antiques and reproductions. All have a private bathroom with Italian marble floor, either whirlpool for two and shower, or clawfoot tub and shower. All of the rooms have HDTV, including the premium movie and music channels, DVD, high-speed wireless internet is complimentary throughout. So while the property is very authentically restored, we're on a number of museum registers, in fact, at the same time, we do have all of the modern amenities that you would expect in a first-class property.
That's outstanding. You know, and this tailors perfectly because the way you set it up with the history of the property and the property itself, I'm hearing a lot of messages come across, like very elegant, And I think because of what you are offering here and the product that you're offering, the property itself, you have won a number of awards, definitely an award-winning B&B. And one of the most recent ones was Hotels Combined recently recognized you all as a top property based on their analysis of more than a million hotels worldwide. That's incredible. Tell us a little bit more about that award.
It is quite an honor, and we certainly appreciate the recognition. Hotels Combined is actually the world's largest site that really goes through all the different major players as far as online travel agency, online travel sites are concerned, and they show the various rates through the different suppliers, so you can shop one place if you're going through an online travel agent, or better yet, you can actually book direct on our website, but nonetheless, if you go through a third-party site, it's a very valuable site indeed. And they did this based upon their guest satisfaction information that they accumulated throughout the web, be it through reviews, be it through social media. And the Beale Mansion, we're proud to say, scored 10 out of a possible 10, which puts us in the top 3% of all lodging in the world. And for a little town of Alton, Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis, but a little town of 27,000, to receive such an honor when they're also looking at Chicago and New York and Beijing and Dubai and Paris and Rome, it's really quite an honor indeed. And we're very thankful for that. Very thankful for all of the people, including particularly our assistants, Mary Lou Fine and Gemma Reed, who have really made this all possible. It's certainly a joint effort, and we're very appreciative for some of the fine help that we've had, which is very hard to find in today's world, but we've been very fortunate.
Outstanding. That's great stuff there, Jim. So one of the themes we're seeing here from this award is that you certainly rank very high when it comes to customer satisfaction, pretty much on a worldwide scale based on this award. What is your secret to guest satisfaction?
You know, we certainly care. As a small property, it's not some big corporate entity with employees reporting back a head office in another city. It is a small business, and I think anybody who has ever run a small business or worked in a small business appreciates how hard the people in a small business to work to make it possible. All the odds are against small business in today's world. Everything is about the big guys. But the one place that small business can compete is with by caring and with excellent customer service.
Excellent. Excellent. Steve, anything you want to add there in terms of questions when it comes to guest satisfaction? I know that's a topic you're passionate about.
Well, actually, just a few questions somewhat related. One's just a details question. How many rooms do you have that you offer at the B&B?
We are limited to 5 by Illinois state law. Illinois, when they enacted the Illinois Bed and Breakfast Act many years ago, defined a bed and breakfast by law as a lodging facility of 5 rooms or less. We cannot operate as a hotel because we are in a residential area. B&Bs are allowed in residential areas under certain conditions, and all of which we have met. So we must operate as a B&B or not operate at all. So it's a pretty tight cap. It's tough for innkeepers to be able to spread the cost over so few rooms, but it's really great for the guests because there's no crowds. There's no none of the noise issues or the partying issues or the kids running up and down the hallways and doors slamming and elevators clanking and all the other issues that can be inherent even with the best of the larger properties.
Right. Yeah, I noticed on your site that as part of the B&B Act that you're talking about, the Illinois B&B Act or whatever, that you're also limited to 2 people per room, and that includes infants and small children. Is that right?
That is correct. So, you know, the nature of the Beale Mansion, because of all the precious and valuable things throughout the property, it tends to be more of an adult-oriented property by nature, and most parents wouldn't want their children running around and maybe destroying something that's irreplaceable and extremely, extremely valuable. So it by nature tends to be a more adult place anyway, but The state of Illinois has pretty much the lid on children. I suppose it could be a single parent and a child in a room, but no families in a room by law.
Yeah, interesting. And also on your site, it mentions that you're an executive of an unrelated family business in St. Louis. So I don't know if you want to or wish to talk about that and your background, but I'm wondering too whether it was the bed and breakfast approach here. I mean, obviously it's income producing thing. What was the drive? Was it, you know, you just really wanted to do it? You wanted to restore an old place? You wanted to have a B&B, maybe all of those things? Maybe you can talk about kind of your approach and your life as a B&B owner, operator, as well as a business person.
Life does take you down many interesting paths, and it certainly is a journey. I've always run some type of business throughout my professional career, but my wife and I were actually approached by my father, who was having some physical issues as the aging process occurred, and he expressed concerns over his ability to continue to live on his own. We unfortunately lived in a 1969 home that you couldn't get a wheelchair through a single door. It was not conducive to taking care of somebody with physical disabilities. And so we decided the smartest thing would be just to buy a new house that was more conducive to being able to take care of our aging parents. Well, we looked at new construction and were unfortunately disappointed, upset, and appalled by some of the prices of some of the really inferior workmanship of the of some of the new construction that's out there. And we really didn't know what to do. We were beside ourselves. Happened to go on a historic homes tour of an area in South St. Louis. And about the second home, my wife and I turned to each other and said, let's buy an old house and fix it up. Started looking at old homes, but the big, beautiful mansions are not just larger, but certainly the craftsmanship, the hand fluting on all the door and window frames and the extraordinary chandeliers and the tall ceilings and all the wonderful things that the mansions have that the typical home did not have were certainly very attractive. My wife was doing dishes one Sunday and I was writing checks, and she said, if we bought one of those big homes, what would we do with all the extra space? And I said, I don't know. And she said, why don't we do a bed and breakfast? And I said, okay. And I love conversations like that, where there's no arguing, where there's no disagreements, where there's everything is nice and smooth and condensed into about a 5-second conversation. And that's what got us on the path.
Wow. And so are you involved, or do you work with a separate business, or are you just dedicated to the mansion?
The mansion is by far the main thing. The amount of time spent with the other business is minimal at this point. In fact, there came a time where a decision had to be made because both businesses really needed my attention, and so a decision had to be made. So minimal with the other business now. The Beale Mansion is certainly the focus, and it is a wonderful business because of all of our wonderful guests. We deal with people who appreciate beautiful things and of all the different businesses you can be involved with. I don't think you can have a better clientele than the bed and breakfast industry. It just it attracts a different crowd than the general public.
And talking about the guest experience, I think you're right on as far as the caring part and the small business approach, and that's just something that you don't, it's unusual to get with a large chain type hotel or whatever. Is there anything that you focus on in terms of the, I don't know, anything that might be kind of your calling card or something you do that's, you know, that you feel like maybe most other B&Bs don't do? Or is it just kind of the overall approach to details and just being available a lot or as needed, you know, to your guests?
Kind of a combination of a number of things, like most things in life are. Certainly, detail is important. And of course, we strive for perfection. Perfection is elusive because there is no such thing as absolute perfection in our world, though it's always our goal. My wife is a absolute perfectionist. I tend to be more of an overview type of person, where she is concerned about the minutest details. In fact, in 2014, we were awarded a Lincoln Gold Medal at the Illinois Governor's Conference on Excellence in Travel and Tourism. It's the highest award that the state of Illinois provides for the travel and tourism industry, and it was for attention to detail. So out of more than a quarter of a million possible candidates, they narrowed it down. They say to us, it was really to my wife, she's the one who's the credit for this. I don't think they could have made a better choice, because she drives people crazy with her attention to detail, but it does make for an award-winning bed and breakfast. Certainly, the other thing that we do is we love to offer our guests options. For example, we have a variety of different packages with different choices and groups of amenities. The breakfast, some people, well, when we opened, we only offered a freshly prepared hot gourmet breakfast featuring the chef's creation of the day. We quickly learned that about two-thirds of Americans don't eat a full breakfast each day. Only about a third do, so we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. So we began offering the option of either the gourmet breakfast that we were famous for, or at a nice discount package with a self-serve continental breakfast, where guests could come down at their leisure in a three-hour time span between 7 and 10 and help themselves to continental breakfast items. We have packages that are for expectant couples, baby moon package. We have romantic getaway packages. We have golf packages. We have in-room spa and massage services, and golf and spa packages, and the list goes on and on. So we certainly can customize the stay around the needs and the wants of the individual guest. We want everybody to have a perfect stay when they're at the Beale Mansion, or again, at least as close to perfection as we can humanly get.
Excellent. Interesting. I never thought about the continental versus the full gourmet breakfast. And my wife and I have been to a lot of B&Bs, not so much with relatively younger kids, but yeah, that's an interesting point, and makes sense. It's probably a lot easier for you, and it also gives guests what they're looking for.
And that's what it comes down to in the end, is providing each guest what they want and not making them pay for something that really isn't their forte. And then even with the gourmet breakfast, we offer the gourmet breakfast served in the formal dining room, or for a small additional fee. We're becoming one of the fewer and fewer lodging facilities that offers room service, the breakfast in bed specifically. And most people never get a real breakfast in bed. Yeah, the kids may bring a bowl of Cheerios and some milk for Mother's Day or Father's Day, but most people don't get a real breakfast in bed. But with our breakfast in bed, we schedule an appropriate time, call the room as we're plating so they have a few minutes heads up, bring it up, fluff their pillows, set the trays over their laps, and when they're finished, they can call us to come get the trays, or if they just want to slip back between the sheets and take a nap, which so many Americans are so sleep-deprived and just need to recharge their batteries today, it's a wonderfully decadent thing to do. Not to have to get up, not to have to get dressed, not to have to put on makeup, not to have to shave, not to have to come deal with other people if you're kind of brain dead and needing that battery recharge. So again, it's all about the guest and the experience they're looking for.
Absolutely. Excellent. Okay. Matt, would you like to...
Sure. Yeah. Just a couple more questions.
Get us back on track.
Sure. Yeah. A couple more questions to round it out. So what do you find, Jim, that are your overall joys and challenges of being a B&B owner?
The joys are really dealing with the guest. We have guests from all over the world stay with us. And I'm a great believer that we need to learn new things each day, because when we stop learning, we start dying. So the alternative isn't very good. And we learn things from our guests every day. I guess the biggest challenge is the long hours and the hard work that go into it, certainly operating in as a 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year job, and it usually kind of starts when your feet hit the floor in the morning and goes till the wee hours of the evening. So it's not something for people who don't like hard work, but it certainly is rewarding in the end.
That's great. That's great. And I imagine on the joy side is really just really, like you talked about earlier, guest satisfaction, pleasing the guest.
It really is. And, you know, anybody who has performed hospitality to friends or families, not even in the industry, but it gives great joy to be able to provide great joy to the guest. It's a two-way street.
That's outstanding. Now, let's talk real quick here before we wrap it up about the tourism landscape in your region. And do you find that the Beale Mansion serves as a hub, if you will, recommending local attractions and partnerships and relationships that you have with other somewhat related hospitality providers, be it restaurants or other attractions?
Absolutely. The first thing to do is to get the guest here. Now, we have guests who come for a variety of reasons, but a lot of them are to specifically experience and enjoy the mansion itself. And once they're here, obviously they need things to do and places to eat. And certainly the greater Alton area is replete with attractions and activities and restaurants and nightlife. And if there's something you can't find here in Alton, well, St. Louis is just across the river, a hop, skip, and a jump away, so you can have the ambience of the small town, the peace, the quiet, the relaxation, the tranquility, but if you need something you can only find in the big city, it's certainly at your fingertips, too.
That's great. That's great. Steve, before we wrap this up with our usual closing anything else to add question, just wanted to see if you had anything else that you'd like to ask of Jim today.
I feel like we're just scratching the surface, Matt. You're in a hurry, huh?
I know with Steve, he could keep this going for a long time. So fire away, my friend. No, keep it going.
Well, actually, and I guess these are kind of my own selfish questions. My wife and I live in an historic home in Maryland. It used to be a farm. And, you know,
it's always nice to talk to other crazy people that are crazy enough to own an older property and maintain it and to appreciate the value of it, both historically and aesthetically.
Absolutely. You know, and it's almost a cult, I think, to a degree. But and I understood as soon as I saw the indentured servant thing on the website. But ours was about a 9-month restoration because the house had been lived in, the original family that we purchased from. But it was in really rough shape, so we couldn't live in the house while it was being restored. And I think you said you purchased your place in 96 and then opened in 98. Is that right?
That is correct. We opened on a limited basis in 98 because it takes a lot to restore an older home, especially a larger, older home, and especially if you do it historically correctly, which being that perfectionist by nature, we certainly wanted to do, but contractors started working on the property in December of 96, and they've been working full-time contractor time, and I put that contractor time in there because sometimes they don't show up when they're supposed to, but full-time contractor time ever since. So we're in our 22nd year of full-time restoration of the mansion. The hope is that this year, the last two major projects can be finished. There's then hundreds of smaller projects, and unfortunately, some of the things done 20 years ago, it's time to redo because it's been 20 years ago now. But we hope the first round can be finished up before this year is out. That's our goal.
Yeah, that's neat. So what kind of shape was the mansion in when you purchased it? And what was the more recent history over, you know, 10, 20 years kind of leading up to that? Was it relatively well-kept or had it been slowly kind of decaying or what?
There's positives and negatives. The positives to the property were it was structurally sound and 98% of the original architecture was intact, which is certainly a very rare find for something of this size and age. Usually properties like this would either fall into disrepair, perhaps set vacant, everything good would be stolen or vandalized out of them, they would get chopped up into apartments or turned into commercial offices, and everything of value would be butchered up or destroyed or removed in the process. None of that happened to this property. This property was always single family, owner occupied. Now, with that said, the negatives were there had not been any serious maintenance done for the prior 40 years, and 40 years a really long time in the lifetime of any structure. The last major upgrade that had been done was, unfortunately, in 1958 to update it to what I will call the 1960s look, for lack of a better term. So all of the woodwork, and the property is full of beautiful fine woods, cherry and oak and mahogany and cypress and walnut, and Mr. Job, if you recall, who built the property as the wedding gift, had a lumber mill as one of his holdings. So all the fine woods of the old growth forest were used as the mill were used in the construction of the property. But every piece of woodwork was either painted or pickled in the property. And there is an incredible quantity of wood. And that's one of the things that was economically ridiculous that we undertook, but we did it anyway because we wanted it right, was to strip all the woodwork back to its original beauty and glory. And there was orange shag carpet and green shag carpet and red felt carpet tile squares and linoleum and old sculptured carpet and brown rubber back carpet. And when they installed central air conditioning to run ductwork, they would simply put in acoustical tile drop ceilings. So instead of those grand 11 or 12 foot ceilings, you had 8.5 foot ceilings with acoustical tiles, which looked like you were at work. It did not feel warm and fuzzy. When we moved in, actually, the plumbing was in desperate need of being redone. It still had its original black cast iron pipes. And if you know anything about black cast iron, my experience is after 80 years, you better start watching carefully because it usually starts rusting too and springing leaks. And actually what the previous owners had done is as a bathroom would spring a leak, they'd shut off the water to that bathroom and use a different bathroom. Well, and there's a lot of bathrooms in the property, but unfortunately when we came here, there was only one last bathroom working and it was leaking. So there was no more bathrooms to turn off. So it had to be replumbed. It had to be rewired. There was a lot of plaster work that had to be repaired because there was a quarry that operated less than a mile from here that blasted several times a day. And the house would shake every time it blasted. And there was all kinds of cracks, as you can probably imagine. There's cracks developed just from normal settling, but a quarry blasting shaking the house three times a day is a very bad thing. So lots and lots and lots and lots of work, but it's...
Well, you know, sometimes, because we've been in our place for about 18 years now, and prior to that, we were in a smaller, older house, probably turn of the century, about your era, farmhouse, and I did all the restoration work on that, and we had the shag carpets and all that stuff, and of course, the good thing about that is that it really protected the floors. Most of the floors underneath were heart pine and, you know, were in pretty decent shape because of the 60s upgrade, quote unquote. Yeah. And our place, I think my brother calls it, he's a architectural historian and he calls it forced austerity or something along those lines, where when the family, whoever owns the place, doesn't really have the money to mess it up, you know, as remodel it, as my wife and I call it. It's great because you keep the architectural details intact in a lot of cases. And we were fortunate with our place now that was the case. There was never central heat, much less air conditioning in the place. So we were able to make the decisions for, you know, high velocity forced air and that kind of thing, and, you know, not feel like you're tearing something out that's the investment's already been made, even though it might have been a bad decision. So yeah, we were fortunate along those lines. I mean, drop ceilings are, that amazes me that, but I think, yeah, part of the mentality is it's expensive to heat a huge house. And hey, if you put a drop ceiling in, it might look ugly, but you've just taken away a foot or two of space that you have to heat, you know, might have been practical, absolutely. I guess. So I can understand it. It sounds like an incredible place, and, you know, looking at the pictures, looks like it as well. So have you done all the furnishing? It's not like there was furniture from the prior owners, you know, in the family kind of stuff or whatever. It sounds like you've done all of that on your own. Is that right? The furnishings and all the artwork and all that?
You know, there was a limited amount of furnishings that survived down to the time we bought it, which we kept, of course. But then we certainly have had to do a lot of filling in. And we wanted it to be as it was in the turn of the century. So, again, filling a mansion full of antiques and reproductions is not an inexpensive thing either.
Mm-hmm. How long do you see yourselves doing this?
It's an interesting question. Unfortunately, we seem to be getting older every year, so I know that our time is limited, but we are going to make the most of it while it is, and hopefully one day we'll be able to find a suitable buyer that will continue the legacy we put our lot of hard work into it. We would certainly like to see it continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds great. It really does. All right, Matt, I guess I've gotten most of my questions.
All right, Steve, that's great. Excellent. Jim, before we wrap up this podcast interview, anything you'd like to add today? Anything we may have missed?
I would just like all of our guests to take a look at our website and a prospective guest, beelmansion.com. Lots of information, videos, photos, book online, pricing, et cetera, et cetera. Or if they have any questions, please just give us a call at 618-474-9100.
Perfect. What a great way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Frictionless Guest App podcast interview with Jim Belote, the owner of Beel Mansion, which is an award-winning bed and breakfast conveniently located only 25 minutes from the Gateway Arch in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. And we hope you really enjoyed this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast brought to you by the Frictionless Guest App. If you wish to learn more, please visit frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com.